ready? Welcome to Ears for You. This podcast is all about the good, the bad, and the ugly concerning the most magical place on earth. We are four concierge travel planners, specializing in all Disney destinations with years of experience. I'm Joy.
I'm Mr. Sunshine Allen.
I'm Jules.
I'm Tree of Life.
We have a great show for you today. We are going to talk about over and underrated things at Disney, and we have a mystery guest. Yay! So since Jules is the only one who knows about our mystery guest, she is going to introduce them. So Jules, you have the floor.
Woohoo! Well, I'm really excited to introduce this mystery guest. This mystery guest is also a well-seasoned concierge travel planner with years of experience. And personally, she is one of my favorite planners and also a mentor. And let's see, this person is coming to us directly from the Orlando-ish area. And it is Roxanne Capehart.
Hey. I guessed. I knew.
Hey,
this
guys.
This was the best person to be a mystery guest.
Oh, I knew. Right?
Hey. I'm so excited. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining
simple.
Us.
You're in Florida and you hate the cold. So.
Oh, I hate the cold. I am so sunburned right now. I wish you could see.
Oh, it must be nice.
Yay.
Hashtag Florida today. Problems.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it made it to 50 today by me.
It's 40 here. Thanks. Yeah. We had snow over the weekend, but I was in St. Louis.
So. We did. We had snow this weekend. Isn't that ridiculous? Snow in
the I'm always like the bearer of bad tidings with my North Carolina weather. So I'm glad you're here and you're a little bit further south.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful today. We went over to Clearwater Beach. So.
Nice.
But Roxanne, you know the pain of late year snow and early year snow.
I do.
Yes. That's why Very she moved much. To Florida.
That's why I left Colorado.
So how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became part of the Ears family and how you got to that point?
So I've been with Ears for 6 years now. Started in 2014 and I had a friend, she's no longer an agent with us, but she drug me in, said, you need to do this with me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And it's been wonderful. And I have met the best people from doing this. So
that's us too, right?
It is absolutely.
Some of you.
So we start every show with a rope drop question. It's like a rapid fire question. I'll ask the question and then I'll pass it to somebody, then they'll pass it to the next person, and then you can join us too. Okay. So today's rope drop question is, what ride do you think is overrated? And we will start with you, Alan.
I would say, actually, an old one and a new one. So an old one, I would say the Autopia. That always has a line, and I don't know, I guess unless you're six, it's not fun. And then for new rides, I actually think, as adorable as it is, I think the Alien Swirling Saucers is a little overhyped. And what about Jules?
For overhyped, I'm going to go with Test Track at Epcot. I think that's like super overhyped and I don't really get it. And for underhyped, I'm going to go with Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom because I just think that is a really great thing to do with most elementary, middle school, and even younger teenagers, and even adults. It's a great way to do something different in the parks that doesn't require you to stand in a line forever.
We were all over 40 and we did that for the first time in February and it was actually a lot of fun.
It is. It's fun. And I like finding the hidden surprises. So
yeah.
What about you, Roxanne?
For overrated, I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to say Flight of Passage.
Sacrilege. We're gonna have to come back to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I totally have that on my paper.
Oh, awesome.
No. Okay. We're gonna have to discuss that as soon as we're done, everybody.
All right, Tree of Life. Go ahead. Tree of Life, go ahead.
So my overrated ride is, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I'm gonna say Peter Pan.
Oh, that's on my list.
Oh, nice.
I love the ride, but it's not worth the line.
No.
Got to have fast pass.
Joy, what about you?
All right. Well, I am with you. I had originally wrote down Flight of Passage 2, which I knew was going to get some people in a little tizzy. But I will add to that, since it's been said, the Navi River Cruise as well. again.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Actually.
I didn't even know that was even
a ride.
No, it was overrated.
So. Well, I just think those two as a, you know, right, maybe collaborative area. I do love the area though.
All right, so let's get back to the important thing. Why, Roxanne, do you think that Flight of Passage is overrated?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I have not ridden it. I can't.
Oh no.
You know, we had this discussion last episode with Jules about Food and Wine Festival and all the like Disneyland in Florida. And she's like, mm-hmm, but I've actually never been. She made this whole like spiel about it.
And then, like, she had like a very convincing argument. And right, then I was like, which one would you pick? And she's like, oh.
I've actually never been. But anyway, that's so awesome. Explain.
So it's a simulator ride. I can't ride simulators.
Right.
But the line is ridiculous.
Right. I have to agree with that part.
Yeah. But the line is it long because it's so good though.
Well, see? Okay. But that's why it's
unlike
overrated.
The Autopia that has a really long line and kind of sucks.
But see, I like Autopia, same, but I think I like it for the nostalgia part of it, of remembering being a kid driving it. You know, like, I mean, I barely fit in it now, so it's really no fun for me now.
But probably haven't fit in it imagine for a while.
Right.
But now they cut the track down, so it's even shorter.
Oh, they did? I didn't know that.
The track has been cut down to make room for Tron.
Oh.
So they actually shortened the track.
Are they going to make it bigger once Tron opens?
Nope.
They're going to leave it? Well, that's kind of dumb. Because that's the one thing about Disneyland that's really nice, is that track like feels like it's forever when you're driving it.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like it's forever when you're driving with a toddler.
Yes. Right. Who keeps bumping into that middle thing, and you're like...
the guy
that's the fun of it.
But, I mean, but my son is actually pretty good at it, but he always wants to be with his dad, and my daughter is 2 years younger, and she always wants to be with me, and she's not so great at it.
So you get off with Whiplash?
It's like very, very long, so I'm kind of glad to know it's a little shorter.
So you guys actually hold the steering wheel when you're on that ride? I didn't know you were supposed to. Yeah. I thought you hit the gas and go.
No, there's a little bit of steering, like a teeny bit.
But that's what the track is for. It does it for you. You don't have to do anything.
You know, it gives you like a little leeway.
Yeah, it's not.
I know. I'm just that person. So Joy, why don't you like Flight of Passage?
So I have ridden it. I will say my experience probably wasn't the best. I rode with my son who throws up very easily. He actually has a condition that he throws up. So it's gotten better over the years, long story. But so he didn't throw up on it, but I was very nervous for him. And so it was hard to focus completely, but I will say this, we kind of got shafted. We got all the way through like the line and like the beginning part where they go through the stuff and you're held in that room. And then we went into our room and apparently someone had thrown up and they didn't notice it. And so they had to make us go back out of the room. And then we had to redo that beginning thing. And so I think that took a little bit away. So I will feel like maybe my time riding it wasn't, I don't know. It was really, really good, but I am a huge fan of the dark rides. So I just, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't want everything to go screens. And so that makes me nervous when all these new rides with the big hype comes out. I mean, of course, they're going to keep giving rides to the people that have these long lines. They're going to keep making rides that are similar to the ones with long lines. So that makes me a little nervous.
So remember last week when I was saying about Soarin', that Soarin' scares the absolute crap out of me because of the height issue and I have to hang on to the bar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would feel the same way with Flights of Passage. And I actually, not only do I love that ride and get super emotional every time I ride it, but I felt so completely safe on that ride, the way that you latch in.
You're buckled into that thing.
Yeah, right. You're not coming out.
I did not feel the same fear that I have for me or my kid next to me as I do when I'm on Soarin'. So
yeah, I don't enjoy that part of the ride, but. It's really
being
tight.
Buckled in or yeah, the...
no on flight just it's really tight for me, like my knees. I think I'm just I mean I'm not overweight 6'6", so it's not like, you know, I don't have fat thighs,
but you're
or
still
like
trying to get your legs wrapped
right
in there.
Yeah, so it's still like I feel like I have to sit up straight. It's like awkward. It's, you know, and then, you know, and I already struggle, like Roxanne, I can go on the rides, but I still struggle with the motion and the like once I put on 3D glasses, it's like I'm going to be your son who might throw up on the ride, who like, okay, I think I'm going to throw up. I'm like, I'm trying not to throw up. I'm like closing my eyes like, oh God, just don't throw up. Just don't throw up.
So those are a code V or a protein spill.
Yeah.
One of the two.
It's probably, I probably protein spill on that. But yeah, I mean, I still enjoy it, but there's some of those rides I do. I still get sick, and I'm trying. You know, if you ever go on a ride with me like that, and you see me like struggling, that's why. Because I'm
we'll just make sure we sit at the opposite end of you.
Right, right, right.
I know. Joy was saying that. I was like, I'd be more worried about the people around or below.
Right. You know, like where's it going to go? But what I do now though to help with the ride, now that I've been on it a couple times, is, and if I do start feeling sick, I look to the sides because I'm that tech nerdy person, and it's kind of cool when you like don't look at the screen but look at the side to see how the ride actually works. It's actually really cool how it works. It's not what I thought it would be, because I thought it was kind of be like a Soarin' type thing, but like there's a lot of moving parts to it, and you're just when you look at like how many rows and you know how it's stacked, it's like it's actually kind of, it's more fun to watch that than it is the ride, you know, to actually watch the screen and see what's going on. But
it is a technological
engineer
marvel.
Brain yeah.
Right,
I have to do that sometimes at Soarin, like if I feel a little like I like just to get grounded, like look up, look down, I can see people's feet, I'm still but in that ride I kept looking at my son, and you should look forward if you don't want to.
I wish I had seen that. I knew that before, because I did stand in line for it, went in and exited.
Right.
So I didn't even sit on the ride. But if
for
I had thought of
Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage. So yeah. If I had thought of that, I'd be like, oh, I could have looked just somewhere else. But
yeah, it's really cool just to watch it and how it's going.
It is. And it's fun to watch other people's reactions.
I'm not a creeper like that, so I don't do that.
Wow, Tom.
Well, let's transition into the overrated, underrated rides or things at Disney. So let's start with Soarin', because, and I bring this up because I thought the first video, at least in Disney World, when I saw it the first time, I thought the video was great. I know it was like based on California footage and all this, but I thought it was great because, and I think it had like real video in it in that video. It wasn't computer generated, where now the second version that they put in, it's all computer generated, and I really don't like it. Like it, when I see it, I see like the elephants going, you can see like they're blocky. They're, you know, like it, and I'm probably being more critical than most people are when they watch the video, but it really bothers me that it's completely computer, you know, animated. And it's not as fun for me anymore when I watch it.
I have a question. I don't think I ever saw the original video at Soarin'. Is it the same one at Disneyland? Because I've seen the one at Disneyland.
It was, I think.
They were the same?
Yeah, it was. So Disneyland is playing California. The same one now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have when the attraction was built, it was built for Disneyland's California Adventure. And so it was Soarin' over California. So when they built it at Walt Disney World, they brought the same ride film. And it ended flying in over Disneyland at night at Christmas. So then when they upgraded to Soarin' Around the World, that one was also put into Disneyland. There was a brief time not too long ago that Disneyland put the original film back in for a brief limited time run. But yeah, they're all Soarin' Around the World now.
Oh, then I've seen the California
endings are different.
Right.
California's
California. California ending ends at Disneyland again. And ours, of course,
Florida ends at Epcot.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it's a little overhyped for me, or overrated for me right now, because I just don't like the video. I think it kind of distracts. But
fun fact, we were there the night they filmed over the Disneyland. It was like 3 a.m. There was a sign in the hotel lobby saying there was going to be a helicopter flying overhead at 3 a.m. Cool. Pay no attention.
Yeah, 3 a.m. Who knew?
Yeah.
Which is funny because sleeping. Man.
Growing up in California,
I didn't hear it.
I never appreciated Soarin' over California. Like it was like, oh, I know that place. Yeah, I know that place. Yeah, I know that place. So the music's good. Yeah. There's some sense.
Yeah.
But now, living away from the West Coast, when I go back to Disneyland, I appreciated it more when it was playing temporarily, because it was like, oh, and there's that place and that place and that place, all the places I wish I could take my kids that we just don't have time to go when we visit California. So, but I love Soarin'.
So who else has some overrated, underrated stuff?
I have an underrated.
Okay.
Living with the Land.
Yes.
I love that ride.
I don't even know why I like that ride, but I do. I love, like, it's one, like, it, when you look at it outside, it's like, that's probably got to be the most boring ride ever, but it's so much fun to ride the boat, and you look at all the plants and you see what they're doing. And, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like you're like waiting for something new to happen, but there really isn't anything new that happens. But
that's the thing, though.
This time.
Yeah, because I, you know, have the advantage of going whenever, and you can see how they've moved stuff around. Like each time, I'm like, wait, that's different.
Yeah,
that
wasn't they harvest there. And put new crops in. The one thing I miss about that was when they used to have spielers, because before it was an automated, it was like Jungle Cruise. There used to be cast members on each boat that would spiel as you went through. But again, nostalgia stuff. I miss the Listen to the Land song that they used to play in there that you can get on some of the Epcot albums.
Oh, I totally forgot about that song.
They decorated it for Christmas this year. That was amazing.
Nice.
That was amazing. There were lights everywhere. It was so cool.
I hope you took pictures because I kind of want to see what that looked like.
I do have some pictures.
Okay. Because that was I haven't been to Disney.
Yeah, they strung lights around some of the trees and stuff and just had some decorations sitting out. But it just felt good that they gave that much love to that kind of ride.
To that attraction.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joy.
I have a funny story about that ride. So the last, it was a couple of times ago before we went, we were just talking about different rides and who was excited about what ride. And my husband is a major gardener. He has a really green thumb. He loves that ride. And so leading up to the trip, we kept calling it the boring ride. We're going to definitely ride Daddy's. We kept calling it Daddy's boring ride. We were definitely going to ride Daddy's. And then we all got off of it. We were like, I just had forgotten. And then my kids are like, that wasn't really boring at all. That was really great. So now we say they're like the one we used to think that was Daddy's boring ride, but we actually really liked. And I'm like, yeah, that ride.
That's pretty cool. That's a cute story. So.
I know something that I think is underrated. I think the Country Bear Jamboree is underrated. I don't think people know what's in there. But every time somebody goes in, like I've taken people who've been like, oh, I've never done that. I've never done that. And then they come out like, that was really fun. I don't know why we didn't do that before. It's air conditioned. You get to sit down. It's funny jokes.
Like, literally, the first time I watched that, I was like, what did I just watch? I have to go see it again.
It's a great little attraction.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about that one.
You don't like the Country Bears?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I'm just kind of on the fence of like, I think I'm more in the middle of it where I think it's okay. I don't think it's overrated or underrated. I just kind of think it's kind of in the middle. And, you know, and I don't know. I guess I haven't seen it.
The original show is what they're doing is the current show. They did a Vacation Hoedown for a while. I didn't love the Vacation Hoedown as much. However, if you go around the holidays, you should 110% see the Christmas special when they do the Country Bear Christmas special.
Okay.
That's the deal.
Full disclosure, the last time I saw Country Bears was the 80s. And it reminds me, like in my head, I have visions of a really bad, I don't think I can say the brand name, Ratty Cheese pizza location. Like that's what I feel like I'm gonna see, like that kind of level of show.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have Chuck E. Cheese where you are, but that's kind of
that's what we do. And I see kind that of
the feel.
But
maybe
like,
it's changed since the 80s.
His heart is just being crunched.
But this coming from the person who had never been on Carousel of Progress.
Yeah. Ooh. So Roxanne was like, what, you've never been on Carousel of Progress? And I'm like, no,
exactly.
We talked about that a lot last week.
So she made me go.
And you liked it, right?
I do. And now it's like my favorite thing ever. And now I'm that friend who's like, anytime I see a Carousel of Progress meme or fun thing, I'm like, Roxanne, look, Roxanne. You left too.
So it's gone now. They don't do this anymore, but it was one of the best things I ever saw. So when they do the Christmas special, and I don't think they did last year, but when they do the Christmas special for Country Bears, you used to exit into, well, you still exit into Pecos Bill's Tall Tale Cafe, but they expanded the dining area. When you exit, there used to be a little wall right outside there that had Melvin, Buff, and Max, the moose, buffalo, and reindeer outside. And they had different little clips that they would speak for a few minutes as you exited the theater. But when they did the Christmas one, Melvin the Moose had Christmas lights all through his antlers. Max the reindeer had a big red light on his nose. And Buff the Buffalo had a Santa hat on. And we went out one time, we were trying to see all the different things they would say. And we went out and Melvin the Moose was saying, how come there's no Christmas songs about mooses? And Max and Melvin don't like each other, or they pick at each other. So Max goes, well, I'll tell you why, because mooses are stupid. That's why. And that'd make it a stupid song. I almost wet myself laughing. I'm like, the animatronics are calling each other stupid. I'm like, this is freaking hysterical. I don't know.
That'd be amazing.
Wow.
Roxy, are you a Country Bear fan?
I love the Country Bears.
Do you know that they have politically corrected it recently in the last couple of years.
What was unpolitically correct?
From what? No, so, it still seems pretty out there.
They used to kind of fat shame Trixie. And I noticed they're no longer doing it anymore.
Huh.
So Trixie is the one that comes in a tutu and sings, "Tears will be the chaser for your wine."
Yep.
And towards the end of her song, they used to say, Henry, the MC, would come out and say, "Oh, that's a mighty big song, Trixie." And they would say, "Well, that ain't all that's big." And they'd be like, "Hey, hey, mind your manners."
Wow.
All that has now been cut out.
Huh. Yep. Yeah, I've never seen that version.
Oh. One thing I would say about the Country Bears is if you have littles, like around two, that have been trapped in a stroller and you need them to like just stay, like you can kind of stand in the aisle. I mean, not the aisle, but the bench part.
Towards there's the back,
enough to like stand and just kind of get a little wiggle out and dance a little bit. That's really nice for it's entertaining to them, and it's air conditioned, and it just is like a few seconds where they can get out of that stroller, but they're still a little confined.
It's about an 18-minute show. It's indoor, it's air conditioned. You get to go in and sit down a few minutes, take a quick break. There's very rarely a long line. You usually get to go into the next show when it comes up.
It's my favorite place to cool off in the summer, because I'll go in and sit, wait for a show to start and let everybody else go in. I'll sit on a bench out in the lobby and then wait for the next show to start.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there for about 20 or 30 minutes.
And the songs are cute.
Mm-hmm.
Come out singing some of the songs. Yeah. Bunny Bubbles and Beulah's song, everybody likes.
Oh, I love that one.
If we're staying in the same area, I also think Tom Sawyer Island is also a little underrated. I like Tom Sawyer Island.
It's such a peaceful place.
And not very many people, I don't think that's top of people's list.
No, I don't think most people know you can even go on the island in the first place. But is there still there's no food there? There used to be like a snack shop or something that was on there, right?
It's seasonal.
Oh, seasonal.
Yeah, it's seasonal. It's usually like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it's not hot food typically.
Right.
It's
okay.
Cold food.
Yeah, but I agree with that. I think it's a fun place to walk around, and you know.
Again, if you have littles and they've been cooped up in a stroller, it's usually less people and they can maybe walk a little bit further in front of you without you freaking out.
Yeah, take them over to the fort and let them run around. Yeah. Don't let them get lost in a cave.
Hey, you know, if they do, they do.
Those kids are dark. Yeah. Kids are dark.
I think I'll move back to, we'll move to Epcot. And I think I'm going to agree with Jules with that test track. The current version is way overrated. I think the old version was not overrated. I thought it was pretty good, but I think the new version is completely overrated. And I think it's just kind of, and I think we've talked about this too, and you know, just kind of dumb now. Like there's like, except for the going 60, there's no really point to riding the ride. Mm-hmm. And you know, whereas, you know, it just, and I guess it's that thrill that's what people want to go to, but I don't get it. Like, it's not something I used to always want to ride that ride. And now it's kind of like, well, I'll ride it if like we can go in the single line or something like that, but I don't want to get a fast pass for it or anything like that.
I think the American Adventure is super underrated.
Yeah, you do tell.
I do think it's kind of
the American Adventure. First of all, if you go in at the right time, the pre-show is the Voices of Liberty. And if you've never heard the Voices of Liberty, you absolutely must go in and listen to the Voices of Liberty under the rotunda. They are amazing. And a lot of people have seen them doing songs from home in their Disney Magic moments that they're doing. So it's all a cappella. It's typically folk song, American folk song, folklore, and they're phenomenal. They put out albums. You can buy albums to the Voices of Liberty. So you get a really cool pre-show. And then when you go into the show, it's a huge theater. It is also air conditioned and the seats are padded. Unlike some of the Tiki Birds and the Country Bears and stuff, it's padded, but it's bench padded.
It still hurts and still uncomfortable. Yes.
Yeah, these are actually seats. But the animatronics, so it's an animatronic history show, traces American history. Some of the animatronic figures in there are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you get one that takes his hat off, and you get one that actually twirls a lasso. And, you know, you have a raft that floats halfway across the stage. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty amazing things in there. And then the dream sequence at the end, I'm the music guy from Disney, and another amazing piece of music is the finale to American Adventure. And in the dream sequence, they put up images of Americans or not even Americans, but people around the world who have left a mark on history. So you will see, you know, Jim Henson is up there, Walt Disney is up there, Tinkerbell is up there, you know, Sally Ride, Ryan White. You have just amazing people through history who have left their mark. And as they're singing about America and their faces are drifting in and out of the clouds, talk about an emotional moment. I get it every time I go in there.
Right? Every time Walt shows up, it's like, oh, of course.
Yeah, there's some amazing people that they're paying tribute to in that attraction. And it's pretty cool.
I haven't done
and, it. And otherwise, people just go in there to nap because it's cold and air conditioned. Yeah, I stay awake through the whole show.
I may or may not have fallen asleep in there. I will not.
One of my trips, I don't remember when I did this, but we went on a behind the scenes. It's probably before my kids were born. That's probably when we did it. But we went on a behind the scenes tour. And I don't remember if it was the Keys to the Kingdom or one of those kind of tours. And we got to go backstage of that.
American Adventure?
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't say that word, American Adventure. But it was actually really cool to see how they did everything, how they brought up all the sets. And, you know, because it's kind of cool. It's just, it's all segmented. It's all like sits in cubes and, you know, they roll
It's on up like a giant war wagon underneath the theater.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a giant like moving platform underneath the theater that has different sets and they all pop. It moves forward. They pop up. They drop down. It moves. Another one pops. It's amazing.
Did you say how long it was? I've actually never done it. Sorry.
American Adventure, 20 it's minutes? About 18 to 20 minutes. Yeah. Most of the theater shows are 15 to 20 minutes.
But it's a good show too. But it's just, yeah, you're right. It's cool about how they did stuff. They really, like that's when you go behind the scenes, I think it gives you a better impression of it. It makes you appreciate what you see more because it's just, there's so much technology. And the fact that like a 1987 computer is running it is even more, is even more incredible. Like they can't change the computer because nothing can run it that isn't that computer because of the coding that they're using. It has to be that.
They'd have to completely reprogram the entire thing.
Right. It's so cool.
And those set pieces are huge.
They're big. Yeah. There's some really big pieces. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool that it moves, you know, back and forth underneath you while you're sitting there.
Yeah.
So the different pieces can pop up. It's pretty cool.
But I'm going back to Voices of Liberty. I absolutely love watching that show. And I did go see that on the last day the park was open.
Oh.
And I did. I may or may not have cried.
Yeah. Oh. They just are phenomenal. And you sit underneath the rotunda and it just like gives the right echo to their voices. And
it's seasonal too. So if you go at Christmas, they'll sing Christmas carols.
Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Still staying at Epcot, I'm going to move to food. That an overrated restaurant, I think, is Le Cellier. I think it's overrated. I go to it. I'm just not a big fan of it. I don't get what the people are probably at me by saying that, but I just don't get. I just don't get the
at Tree of Life.
Oh. Yes. I just don't get what's so amazing about it. I mean, the food is okay to me, and I think years ago the food was better, but lately when I've gone, it hasn't been that great. And so,
I've only been there once, but the one time we went in, we actually got the porterhouse for two, and it was more like a porterhouse for four, but we thought it was pretty good.
I will make a late afternoon reservation and go and just get the poutine.
Okay. Mm.
But why not just go to the little poutine shack to get the
poutine? It's not the same poutine, not at all.
You know what I'm talking about, right? In Canada, right off the steps there?
The refreshment port has some poutine and they'll do seasonal ones too. But the one that you can get in Le Cellier has a red wine reduction. Oh. Fabulous.
And the beer cheese soup from Canada is like, make my eyes roll back in my head. So good. Love the beer cheese soup.
I think Disney in general, different restaurants kind of go on these like highs and lows. You know, you get like a surge and that's the it place and you can't get a reservation and then it kind of fizzles out and then there's a new one. But then another, then that same one kind of comes back around and it's, you know, they might not have even changed anything, but the word gets out and then they're special again. You can't get a reservation. And when you start to not be able to get a reservation, then everybody tries to get a reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just nobody knows why. But
what about Animal Kingdom? Anything overrated, underrated?
Well, I think everybody loves the Lion King show, and I don't think that's overrated. I don't think it's underrated. I hope people enjoy it as much as I do, which I think it's just a fun show that it's live singing. So much going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's more just about the music and them singing it live, which is kind of fun. The acts, you know, they haven't really changed much. And I mean, I think I've seen some of the same people doing it for like years now, and like that hasn't really changed. But just the music and, you know, that it's live is just kind of, I don't know, it gives me chills. I'm one of those people that gets like goosebumps during music sometimes. And, you know, so it's just,
I feel that.
It's fun. I think it's kind of fun.
I mean, I would say it's slightly underrated in that it's not talked about a whole lot, but I agree that it's worth going to see while you're there. Even if you've seen it, I think anything that I've gone to that I want to see again, you know, makes it like better than, you know, just that, oh, it was good that one time. I think that was, you know, multiple times.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, okay, the tumble monkeys are my favorite part. No, wait, the flying bird is my favorite part. No, wait, the twirling fire is my favorite. Right. No, the finale is my favorite. So every time.
I do think what's something that's underrated, and maybe it's people go on it, but I don't know if people truly appreciate it, is the nature walks that, or I don't know if they're called the trails, where you can see like where you can go see the gorillas. Like, I mean, like, especially when the one baby was born, we went, I got all this cool video of like the babies playing. You could see the dynamics of
the family unit.
The teenager, I don't know how old, like, I mean, I think it was like three, but him being jealous of the baby and that, then, you know, like it was just fascinating to watch. And I mean, I love animals, so that's why, but it was still just really fascinating to watch. But then I think it's in Asia, there's a trail too. That I didn't know.
Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Yeah, and I didn't know until I went with my wife when we went a solo trip together, and we were just walking around randomly, and I'm like, oh, what's this? I've never seen it. And I'm like, this is awesome. There's some cool
photo opportunities there.
Yeah.
Family photos, senior photos, you know, just portraits of your kids, you know.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely an underrated one, because even on a crowded day, you can go back in there and usually find some pretty secluded, you know, empty spots.
Hilarious. And you got to see the flying foxes. I think they're pretty cool. Did you not see the flying fox?
The bats?
Yeah.
They haven't been out that much. Few times that I've been in there, maybe it was too hot for them. I don't know.
I think Rivers of Light is overrated.
Oh.
I had super high expectations for that. They were really talking it up. All the podcasts were talking it up. And then it just kind of fell flat.
Now, was that before it opened that they were talking it up, or that's after they seen it, they were talking it up?
I like it. Back off.
Even the media previews. But I don't know if you guys remember, there was another sort of, here, we're going to give you this show because Rivers of Light isn't quite ready yet. And I almost feel like that intermediate show was better than Rivers of Light. And it just reminds me of like, that restaurant that you keep going to because you like in your brain, you know, there's something good about it, but then you sit down and you're there and you're like, oh yeah, this is why we don't come here.
Like, when was the last time you saw it? Did you see that We Are One?
I usually go to Rivers of Light every time because I usually get a Rivers of Light dining package because I'm not going to wait for Rivers of Light. Like, I'm not going to stand in line for it.
And I want a special spot.
But yeah. Why even go if you hate it that much?
Because it's that restaurant that she thinks is going to be better.
Why don't you eat at the restaurant and go home?
Watch the tree instead.
I guess that I'm hoping it's going to be better than the last time. I love the idea behind it, and I love the colors, and I love the music, and the floats are really great, but like, it just never all comes together. All of the elements are there individually. It just never is fully cohesive for me. And I just kind of feel like, you know,
and I didn't see it when there were actors in it. So I don't know what they took out. I know they took out the live actors.
There were musicians. That made a big difference. They were like musicians.
Okay. And it was a nice show. I don't think it's one I would see every time.
It was a one and done for us.
Yeah.
Well, Epcot Forever right now was.
Yeah. But I've never seen the Nemo show.
That's what I was going to say is another underrated because everybody talks about Legend of Lion King. But the Nemo show is fantastic.
Right.
I mean, it is also live vocals, live singing. It is Broadway caliber in, you know, a short stint in the theater and a show.
But the seats are really uncomfortable.
The bench seats are the blah, but
I'm indifferent about that show. It's not bad. You should go see it. The two people holding the fish and wiggling around. I don't know. I'm just indifferent.
Joy, it's called imagination.
Have you seen Lion King on Broadway?
I get what they're trying. I get it. I get it. I get it. I just
obviously not.
I believe Julie Taymor, who did the Lion King costumes, was involved in some of these costumes. For
her. I don't want to knock her costumes. Okay. But
I mean, Crush is like 30 feet wide and on stage. He's amazing.
And the contraption that they reel out for Mr. Ray.
Yeah.
I didn't say all of it was bad. I didn't say it was bad at all. It's just, I don't know that it's under or overrated. I think it might be where it's
just there for you.
No, for everyone. I think it's just there. It's not underrated. It's not overrated. It's just there if you want to go.
There's a cast there that's been there for quite a while, too. Some of the same story. Yeah, and them.
Don't make them send me hate mail. I'm just saying.
At Joy Dietz.
They're on Instagram. Like
she thinks you are, she thinks you are doing mediocre.
After the show, one day at Disney, I looked up the gal on Instagram. So she's there to at Joy. But I noticed.
I didn't say her. I just
in our feelings earlier that only one person mentioned something, anything at Hollywood Studios, and I'm kind of wondering why that is. Because if I'm going to be honest, Hollywood Studios is like the most overrated park for me. Like I go.
Well, we were doing a tour around the world. We didn't get there.
Yeah, we haven't
to Hollywood. Gotten there.
Oh, yeah. She's talking about the rope drop.
Oh, the rope drop.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned Hollywood Studios, but I am with
general,
you.
Alan mentioned alien swirling saucers.
Mm, right.
But that was it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of overrated stuff.
I think it's
let's move to the studios. Sure.
Let's dive in.
Well, I was going to bring up something else, but.
All right, go ahead, Tom.
Okay.
I'm
going to ask the question. So talking about Turtle Talk with Crush.
Yeah.
Do you think that is overrated or underrated? Because I feel like there used to be like it is hard to get a fast pass or hard to get in there, but lately it seems like there's not a lot of people in there or like going to it. Do you feel the same way, or is it just when I've been going there that there's just not too many people?
I personally think it's a pretty cool attraction, but I think it's one of those if you've gone with, I think it's better with littles, like preteen and under. Once all your kids are like preteen and over, they're probably over that, my opinion. I think it's pretty cute, but I think it's more popular if you have littles.
Right. I can agree with that.
I'm the all ball. I love it. I love it. I'll watch it anytime I'm there.
Because it's always a different interaction.
Because it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Crush is always talking to different people. So it's a different group every time, different questions.
So I have a tattoo here. And one time Crush asked me if I had a fight with a squid.
Oh, nice.
And I was just so shocked I was like, what?
Wow, I'm surprised he could see you. Like,
yeah.
See
that. Like, how did he even see that?
Mm-hmm. He can see right in there. He's underwater, but he can see really well.
I think Epcot is hard to rate based on fast passes, like over and underrated rides, because of the tiers and the fact that there are not very many good rides in the top tier. Or you can only pick one. All the good rides, all the good rides are in the top tier. You can only pick one of those. So you have to pick two in the lower tiers. And that's hard to figure out based on fast passes, the overrated.
Well, I would suspect that
I will too.
As the studio's tiers have changed quite a lot in the last couple of years, I suspect Epcot's tiers will change.
And I look forward to that day.
Yeah. Yes.
Will they though, or are they just going to add those two new rides to tier one and leave everything else the way that it is?
I don't think they could.
I would think they'd make the two new ones as tier one.
I think they'll just knock some people down, like maybe Nemo down.
Frozen will probably still stay at tier one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe
Soarin' could be knocked down. Soarin' would stay where it is too.
Soarin' could get knocked down because it has the three screens now.
Yeah. It's got pretty big capacity.
Yeah.
Going to Hollywood Studios, I'm going to bring up a really old ride that is not there anymore. And that was the backstage tour. And I don't know if it's called the Backlot Tour. I don't know if it had like many different names to it, but that's when I kind of thought it was a little overrated. I love being on it, but in the reality, it was kind of to a point. I mean, unless you get to like the canyon part, you know, like that was kind of the cooler part, but everything else was just kind of like, it was kind of like,
It made more sense in the beginning when the studio was actually trying to do film and television production work.
Which Once I got to
most
be on
of that ended. Yeah.
Right. There was no point to it. You know, I got to be on the Mickey Mouse Club.
You were a Mouseketeer?
No, I got to be in the studio audience of the Mouseketeer. Okay. So I got to slap, I think, Justin's hand, Justin Timberlake's.
What?
Justin was there. Christina was there. Britney Spears was performing there. And if you look on Google, you have to find the right clip. You can see me. You can see my hand and my little fat self that was there. And like smacking the hand, not knowing what's going on because I've never seen the Mickey Mouse Club because we didn't have cable at that time. And so I didn't even know what this – like I knew what Mickey Mouse Club was, but not this version of it. But I didn't even know at the end that those were going to be all these big stars. Like it was crazy how many of, you know, Christina, Justin, Brittany, and I'm sure there was other people that I can't think of who were there. And like Brittany was
performing. Less popular in the cafeteria.
Right.
You are now so much cooler to me, Tom. Yeah. You've just moved up a few
and
notches.
That started my crush with Britney Spears that is still kind of here today. Maybe not the shaved head Britney Spears, but but
we all have our moments.
That's right. But the more this shelter at home in place, the more I'm understanding that side of Britney Spears. I'm understanding that. So I'm getting a little bit better okay with that. But I still have a crush on her. I still think she was a great performer. You know, that time she was lip singing. So, you know, it's kind of weird. But
she still was. Even her last few performances in Vegas, her show that was running there was really great. And I'm super sorry that I missed it because if anything, she is a showman for sure. And in the historical, traditional, you know, Buffalo Bill Cody sense of the word, she's a showman.
I worked at the studios back in those days. Like I said, they were a lot less popular in the cafeteria.
I
can't believe it that, but yeah.
I think Indiana Jones is an underrated attraction. I love that attraction at Hollywood Studios. Indiana Jones attraction, like that's the beat.
I agree. I think we've had so many more movies. We could do something other than the first movie.
The history,
we could probably
is so
update
exciting.
A couple of the sequences, but you could do a little bit of a freshen up on some of those sequences. But it is a great attraction. Great show. Uh-oh, Joy.
I was just thinking, you know, what happens when I think. just because, you know,
what's the line for Gaston there?
Stop. I'm just thinking that, like, you know, when I go to the park, I want to go to show some of those things multiple times. So things that are live like that, that use the audience, you know, I don't want to guess, but I don't want to know what's going to happen because I watched it. You know, I don't know. I think you could mix it up a little bit for, especially because they use the audience to interact. You know, kind of trick you up a little bit. Yeah. Or maybe like three different of them. And it's like, you don't know which one you're going to get when you go to the show. Like, you know, 10's this way. And if you go back at 12, it's totally different. Or there's a little something different that you feel like, I already know what's going to happen. But no, they trick you. Like something like that. I don't know. Just saying.
It's kind of like Disney's thing, though, is it's all the same all the time, almost all the time. Like there isn't. You want Small World, it's the same.
Until I get to take a picture with Indiana and Marion, because that's like my goal. I just haven't got there yet. I know that it's possible because I have seen it happen. It just has.
I have to defend that though. It's different when it's a ride versus like a live. Like they're pulling people from the audience, and you know that one guy isn't really. I mean, come on. I want to like little
giveaway secrets. Maybe somebody
is not a real audience member.
Joy,
but there's only one of them. Which one will it be?
You know, it's cool though. I do have to say it was fun, and I don't remember if it was a dessert party. For some reason, I was eating dessert on the stage of Indiana Jones. I don't remember what the point of it was and why, if it was a special
access. Did your mom get you into that again?
I don't know. She might have. But it was kind of fun to walk around there and just kind of look at the set, and you know they had some of it out there. But it was cool. Like it was that part was fun. But I still think the show is kind of. I'll put it in the middle line. It's not overrated. It's not underrated. It's just kind of there. I did it before. I don't really need to see it again since it doesn't really change. And I know the outcome now. So it's
It is a good show if you can fit it in.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great place to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, theater seats are not the best, but
right.
You know, bench seats.
I will say I think an overrated show is A Beauty and the Beast. The only thing that ever made that exciting for me was there was one cast member who was totally on drugs or pie or something when we did it, because she was making the most random faces the whole, it's like she was still dancing totally in cue, but like her face, she was not there. And that was, and we were cracking up because she was just, there was always a different face every time. Like you could tell she was not totally with it. And that was about the only enjoyment of the show.
that's sometimes what entertainers do when you've been in the routine for a long time, and you try to see if anybody notices.
You try
to mess each other up on stage.
Because
we used to do that a lot.
I love that one. I love that one. Now, I might well argue with you on however you feel about the mermaid one at Hollywood, but the bell one, don't mess with that. Okay. That's fighting.
That's my favorite movie, but
it's my favorite movie too.
I love Beauty and the Beast. I just think the live show is kind of, and you know, I guess I've never seen it. Yeah, I guess I've never seen it in not like 90 degree humidity with everybody packed in.
Stop going in the summer.
I don't have a choice. But the Little Mermaid show, I think, needs to get, they need to put like HD movie or something in there, because it still looks like it's from like the 80s that the projection.
The lasers are.
Right. Yeah. It's like
getting a little blurry.
Right.
What's happened here?
Yeah.
I think my concern is, and this is just like a general statement, and I don't know. My concern is like, so much has gone to Star Wars land. Galaxy's Edge. Don't neglect everybody else. Like, give some everybody else. I mean, because now lots of people are there. Let's give everybody else just a little love so that it's worth being there all day and waiting for your boarding pass. Well,
at least that end of the park is all being repainted. So that's a nice thing.
Oh, a little fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
Now, do you think they're ever going to change the front? I know we're getting off topic again, but do you think ever going to change the name of that street? I don't even know. When you first walk in, that's
Buena Vista Street.
Yeah. Do you think they're ever going to change? Because that was based on Hollywood, you know, Hollywood movies, and it's Hollywood, still called Hollywood Studios, but I don't feel like it's really I don't think it really fits that anymore.
Do you know the tie into Buena Vista though?
No, I do not.
I do.
Jules, go ahead.
Of course, Jules knows. Jules knows everything.
Well, I hope it's right, because Buena Vista Pictures, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is.
Which was animation.
Housed on Buena Vista Boulevard in California.
Right.
Hollywood.
I mean, my favorite taco shop on Buena Vista, mm-hmm. Ventura County, California, where I got married and had my first baby.
Oh. All at the same place?
On the street?
Not on Buena Vista, no.
Hollywood Studios is like your park.
Got married, had her first kid, all in the same place.
Well, like, yeah, but that's an
interesting
why
Chapel Hospital.
I like it. I think you have to leave some things alone. It still is supposed to have that old Hollywood feel, but honestly, I think California Adventure does that better than Hollywood Studios does it.
Right.
But that's kind of what they're supposed to do. You know, Hollywood Studios is sort of, what are they? Oh, gosh, there's a saying. Isn't it supposed to be like the Hollywood that is and never was?
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of like Walt's beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I Plus, they have
the best Christmas decorations in that area.
Well, they did until they took away
the best retro. Well, yeah. But in that Buena Vista area, they have all the retro.
That's Christmas. True. I miss the singing in the rain pole there.
And from actually back on the street where you could go stand under it, right?
Yes. And because I have a picture of all three of my kids each taking their turn at the pole with the umbrella and everything. You know, I miss those little things, walking around the streets like that and the doorsteps and all that. I like that better than fancy new tap houses. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but that's also the back area of Galaxy's Edge now.
I know. That was.
Yeah. I like the tap house.
Do you think the Great Movie Ride was overrated?
I love the Great Movie Ride.
I miss the Great Movie Ride. It was fun.
I watched four walkthroughs. Roxanne, did you break down yet? Did you watch it?
What?
The full walkthrough of Mickey's Runaway Railroad? Right away?
No, but I've ridden it.
Did you?
Yeah.
How is it?
Ooh, enlighten us.
it's a perfect dark ride in a park that needed a dark ride.
Got it.
I won't spoil anything, but it was, and there was unexpected things that happened, and it was very cool.
Do you think it's better than what Great Movie? Do you think it's a good replacement?
I don't know that it's better, but kids will like it more. Kids wouldn't have understood a lot of the references in Great Movie Ride. They know Mickey and Minnie.
Right.
So it's going to hold their attention better. That park needed a ride like that.
Right. It needs a lot of things. And I think they're getting there, but it's just, I think it's getting there. It's just, it's a slow burn to get there. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to see what they're going to do if the rumored change comes to the back end of Sunset Boulevard. There's a big rumored change that Rock and Roller Coaster from there back towards Toy Story Land would have an expansion and a connection done there. And maybe they would expand that with Pixar. So there was a rumor that Rock and Roller Coaster might get a Monsters, Inc. overlay where they're kind of going through the door factory. But
that's kind of cool.
Because it's not Aerosmith anymore?
They're going to be losing Aerosmith. The contract is going out with Aerosmith.
It'll go eventually. That would be amazing, but I could never ride it.
Well, but the bad thing with that is Monsters, Inc. is Pixar, and it tends to be kid related.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty tall height restriction with a coaster that goes upside down for kids. So they've also talked about
kind of like
they'd have to redo Incredibles. That track.
But like a coaster,
Incredible Coaster, I mean, it's a younger ride, but a taller height. I mean, the younger theme ride.
Yeah,
I've never stopped adults before ever going on rides that are for kids. I mean,
if they did that, it would be like black light with the doors and stuff like that, you know, and you would want to keep your eyes open to see what's going on, like to see all the doors and stuff. But at the same time, like maybe you would never, ever see it. So maybe it would never matter because if you were somebody who kept their eyes closed anyway, or you smacked your head in the thing, you know.
Another option that one of the other bloggers that I like to, YouTube bloggers that I like to watch, talked about as a possible expansion back there. Again, Pixar, but the area from Rock and Roller Coaster towards where Toy Story Land is now is roughly the same size as Pixar Pier at California Adventure. So there was some rumor about potentially replicating Pixar Pier, including something like the Incredicoaster back in that area to basically give you a full circle. So you could go down to the end of Sunset Boulevard into where Hollywood Rock and Roller Coaster is now. And then there would be a back connection that went back towards Toy Story Land. So give it a full loop of the park and give it better flow.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. The park. Regardless of how you feel, I think about bringing Pixar or the pier or whatever, I think just the flow itself
would be greatly improved.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the flow from Toy Story is horrible.
You got to leave Pixar Pier in California, though.
I don't think that wouldn't fit in.
Because it's uniquely California. It's you know, Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. It's Venice. It's, you know, all those little boardwalky types.
Atlantic City, you know.
You could just take some of the rides. You could just take some of the rides without it trying to be a pier. So it could be Pixar Place.
Like to see more of Florida. Like Coco and Mulan, like those kind of things, celebrating like they do at DCA, you know, over there in Hollywood, I think would be cool.
I don't care. I just like the new flow thing. Do that.
Yeah. Do the flow.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, it would be cool if they could bring like Cars Land.
Right. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Cars Land is amazing.
Yeah. Or at least some type of, you know, something for it.
Like, yeah. You don't have to do the entire thing, but.
Yeah.
Jules doesn't want us to take anything from California, okay?
Well, I mean, Cars Land ends at Route 66 in California, and so it is appropriate, but that doesn't mean that we can't have it over there. But the Monsters, Inc. ride that's over at California, you know, already, it makes sense that there could be a Monsters, Inc. ride at Hollywood Studios, you know.
I just think that's what's lacking.
California was something different before it was Monsters, Inc. And it was bad.
Right.
It was one of the worst attractions of the park.
I just think overall the Pixar characters are lacking. I mean, like that was one of the things we really enjoyed when we went out to California was meeting those and some of the characters we couldn't see, you know, we call our home park the world. So when we went out to the land, like that was kind of fun to see more of the Pixar stuff than we get to see at home, which is really relatable to the age of my kids. So I would like to see more Pixar here at the world.
It'd be cool if they could bring in Bugs Land. Those were all little kid rides.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of those were relocated and rethemed. So like the Emotional Whirlwind was over in Bugs Land.
Yeah.
I believe it's the same attraction. They
It is. It's exactly the same attraction. It's the
same one. Yeah. Flicks, flyers.
The to-go boxes, the Chinese takeout boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's what? Little Green Men?
No, it's Inside Out.
No, it's Inside Out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep, you're right.
You had Jesse's Critter Carousel over there.
Yep, was Triton's.
Was Triton's. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more Pixar at the studios because you have all of Toy Story Land, you know, and that's nice. And there was a lot of meet and greets with Pixar characters at Epcot in those buildings that are being demolished.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see who they bring into the Play Pavilion because they were supposed to go there.
What if they made it a Baymax coaster and they made like San Francisco back there? That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
That would fit better with the upside down. Higher requirement.
Because they could color it like Baymax in his armor colors, you know? Yeah,
the red and purple.
Yeah.
You go ahead and start writing your letter to Mr. Disney and send that off, okay?
Wait, which Bob are we writing to now?
Whatever, just Bob.
Old Bob. Hey, Bob.
Well, just at them on Twitter. They'll find it.
And over in Tokyo Disneyland, where the Avengers campus is being built, they have closed down Rock and Roller Coaster over there, and it is being rethemed into a Tron coaster or into an Iron Man coaster.
Really?
Yes. It's part of Iron Man. It will be part of Adventures Campus there.
Is there a Marvel themed ride mentioned for Avengers Campus in California?
Well, if you talk about the Adventure, well, you have the Spider-Man ride.
Yeah. Oh, yes, right. Spider-Man.
And then you have the new e-ticket attraction that they're not really saying a whole lot what it is, which will be themed around the Avengers, and it's a couple years out. I have a feeling that will be very similar to a Flight of Passage kind of thing, if I had to guess.
And Joy just sunk her head saying,
I'm just joking. I was just making it full circle. Right.
Anything else at the studios we want to overrate, underrate?
I'd say Muppets 3D is underrated.
I have to agree with
that.
It's
so cute.
It is. I mean, the video is old, but I think it's just fun. It is. It's kind of like
it's classic Muppets kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Mickey's Philharmonic where it's a fun show to go see. You know, it's a great place to just sit, relax. And, you know, I think it's kind of entertaining. You know, it's stupid humor, but I like stupid humor. So it's fun. And it's
Sorry, lady.
That's right.
Yeah. Waldorf and Statler are the best.
Right.
Yeah.
Jules, I feel like you're thinking something.
Oh, I really hate Rizzo's Pizza Palace, blah, blah, blah. I really wish they would bring back Pizza Planet. I don't know why they took Pizza Planet away in the first place. Bring Pizza Planet back.
So I've never eaten there, but if you go upstairs in the Rizzo's Pizza place, there's this room and it looks like it's you're gone to a wedding in New Jersey. At a banquet hall in New Jersey.
It's supposed to look like the banquet, yes.
It is fabulous. Oh. And they play dance music and stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot of Muppet Easter eggs in that building. If you look at all the little pictures on the walls and things like that, there's a lot of Muppet Easter eggs in that building.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite places to hide out in the studios.
Well, now we know where to find you.
Yeah,
well,
I'm giving away all my secrets.
Now Tom has a new place to hide, too.
That's right. Well, I would probably just be hiding in the bathrooms, but that's a different story.
Okay.
So. Tom, what's your most underrated bathroom at Hollywood Studios?
Hollywood Studios? I don't really go to Hollywood Studios, so I wouldn't know. But
okay, overall, just pick an underrated bathroom in the park.
I have to say the one by Space Mountain, where the gondolas used to.
Studios.
I know. I don't know the Hollywood Studios. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Doesn't go to the bathroom there.
Magic Kingdom.
No, he doesn't go to the bathroom there.
Well, that's because I barely go to Hollywood Studios. That's why I don't know. But
that's why, because it's an overrated park.
No, I don't know. There's a good bathroom though. Is when you go to Tower of Terror. It's like right in the middle of that street, which I can't think of what the street name is. But that's actually a pretty
Sunset
good bathroom.
Boulevard.
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard. It's actually kind of it's not a bad bathroom.
You're talking one that's in a little alley. Looks like
where like halfway, you know, like gangsters are gonna come out or something like that.
Yep,
most people probably have been to that bathroom.
Tom is our resident bathroom expert.
Oh, very good.
He's our resident Debbie Downer.
That's right.
Okay,
I don't know where all this
is. He's really been on his best behavior tonight. It must be because we have a guest.
Oh. That's probably it. That's it.
Well, there's not a lot.
Got on a good influence then.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
We'll have you back.
Anytime.
I don't have too much that's underrated at Disney besides a few things, you know, that like, you know, I think Peter Pan is one of those really overrated rides. That's just like, it's not worth the 90 minute wait. Like, I don't know why anybody would ever wait 90 minutes for it. Cause it's like, no, I know, but like, it's like I feel like it's like a minute ride. Like it goes by so fast. Like you sit down, it comes down and then you're
that's
like,
because you're having so much fun on it that you're not realizing that it's going by that quickly.
That's definitely not what's happening. But, I will have to say though, on that ride, there's part of that ride that really bugs me, and how many years have been since I noticed it, they still have not fixed it, is when you get to the pirate ship and it has the two scenes on either side of the clock that's supposed to be there. The one when it's almost towards the end where like they're fighting in the first scene, mm-hmm. and then you go by it and then you go by the sail and then it's like, oh, everybody won and people are beat up and stuff. So before you, when you're approaching the boat, there's like, they have a cloth there that's not showing the other, like everyone beat up,
the other scene.
But there's this little slit that you can see both ways and no one's ever fixed it. I don't know how these years have gone by that no one's like cast members writing it. Somebody isn't like, hey, you can see to the other side to see, you know, to see that, oh, they beat everybody up, but that, and it's in the same spot. No one's ever touched it. I really should do my ad at Disney about that and say, fix it now that you have time in the quarantine, fix that stupid curtain. But,
maybe.
But like, it just bothers. Every time I see it, I'm like, they still haven't fixed the curtain. You can still
maybe see we're going by it so fast we can't see it.
Right. I notice it every time.
It's just the downer. We spoke too soon.
I had to bring something.
I know. But we spoke too soon.
But see, look for it. You know, especially Roxanne, you'll be able to go, but look for it. I want to know if they fixed it.
I hardly ever ride Peter Pan.
Now you kind of have to prove my point. But
yeah, I'll have to try.
I love going through. By the way, while we're talking about Peter Pan, really quickly, if you go to Riviera, Riviera Resort has a ton of art, and there's an art scavenger hunt that you can do. That's free. You just ask for a little scavenger hunt paper. And there is the most wonderful portrait in the hallway of one of the levels. And I won't tell you which, because it's on the scavenger hunt, but it's a portrait of Mrs. Darling reading to the three children in an armchair. And I love it so much. It totally gives me like Marmee reading to the Little Women vibes. But it's like, you just don't see a lot of pictures of the mother with the children. And I love it so much. And it's a full size, like oil painting portrait. Oh, it gives me
the pictures in there. I mean, not to take away from Peter Pan, but the pictures in that resort are really
are beautiful. But yeah, but Peter Pan in general. So anyway.
Well, since we've moved over to the Magic Kingdom, may as well start talking about Magic Kingdom's over and underrated.
Right.
Give it to us.
Well, I already said, I think the Utopia is really overrated because that's always got a really long line. And I'm like, unless you're six, I don't know. I don't know why it has that long line. Nostalgia, but.
I think they have like some.
It's fun to drive a car, even though you drive a car all the time and they go into gas fumes, and it's just amazing. Like, and you get a track, so you don't have to hold the steering wheel; you just push the gas.
Have to hold the steering wheel.
You don't have to. That's what the middle track is for. The middle track is there so that you can just bang back and forth, and it doesn't do anything. It's a great.
Well, did we all hear the rumor about the Utopia?
No,
but you're gonna give it to us.
I will give it to you. So there was a rumor, and Elon Musk denies it, but. If it got to him, maybe. So there was a rumor that Disney was looking to upgrade the Utopia with all electric vehicles, which would be really nice because you would get rid of the gas fumes.
Right.
It would be nice to the environment over there. And there was a rumor that they were going to theme it similar to Tron. So it'd be really cool if they were electric cars that had lights on them. That might revive it a little bit because then it's themed to Tron. It's Tomorrowland. Cool. You'd see, you know, even if they're just outlined in lights or something like that, would be kind of cool to fit the area once Tron comes in. Be a nice update, get rid of the gas fume smell. But Elon Musk has said no, he's not in talks with them to do that. I think would be really cool.
I don't know if they might really actually talk to Elon Musk about it, but I mean,
you can have an electric car, but
I mean, you can make a battery car out of any, you know.
I was really excited about Tron. Like, I was really excited about Tron because I've seen the ride where it is at the other park in Asia. But I'm really mad at Tron because of Tron, they closed down my literal favorite part of Magic Kingdom, which was the path that goes behind, that goes between smoking Tomorrowland
path.
And
yeah, the smoking path.
Yeah. Jules, I are love you a smoker? That path. I didn't
know that. It goes where?
It went, it connected to, what's it called? Circus. Storybook Circus.
And right beside the Barnstormer.
Yep. And went back there. So there. You didn't have to walk all the way back up through Fantasyland and through the castle and through the hub. You could just go behind.
But think of all those gift shops you're going to pass that you can buy something.
Why would you want to miss all that great stuff?
Oh, because sometimes you just want to go where you want to go and you don't want to.
It was always a real quiet path.
Yeah. It was a nice little break. Mm-hmm. Chill out.
Well, I'm mad at Tron because it closed my railroad.
Right.
It'll be back, though. The railroad will be back.
I know,
but it's indefinitely.
Well, Splash Mountain bought that.
Quarantine indefinitely, too.
Now it's
Splash Mountain
longer.
Shut it down when Splash Mountain was being built. Don't forget.
Any more underrated, overrated at the kingdom?
Overrated food.
Ooh, what do you got?
That's the turkey leg.
Yes.
Be our guest.
Yes. Well, I think Be Our Guest. I think Be Our Guest is overrated.
Be Our Guest is totally overrated. Right.
Yeah.
For dinner.
For dinner. I like it for lunch.
I love it for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, lunch isn't
bad. I'm all about the atmosphere in there. I would just go and sit in the West Wing.
Yeah. I've only been for breakfast.
I don't know. To me, it just feels too... I don't know. It just doesn't, I can't get immersed into the theming. I know what they're trying to do, but it still just feels like a cafeteria to me.
Did you go for dinner or did you go for lunch?
Only lunch. I've never been for dinner. So okay, maybe dinner's different.
If anybody has never been for lunch, there is a neat little magical extra enhancement that happens there. So you've been for lunch. So when you go for lunch, you actually scan your magic band and you order your meal. And then you go and sit down wherever you want in the restaurant. And magically, they know exactly where your order goes and it comes right to you. So it is an enchanted castle. They point out, they keep track of people. But when you go for dinner, then it's table service. So obviously then you have a server who knows where you are. But it is pretty cool during the day. You go and get your lunch.
It's fun to watch them with their carts going around. They just go right to them.
But isn't breakfast like that as well?
Yes, it is.
I haven't done breakfast.
I've only done breakfast. And we actually picked what we wanted before we got there.
I like breakfast because it's if you time it right, it's like a fast pass of its own. And I always just take a gallon Ziploc bag and the pastry set that they bring us. I put the pastries in the gallon bag, and then when people
you're one
are
of those people,
huh? Yeah, when people are complaining later,
she's like your grandma Ruth.
That's right.
For snacks, like while we're waiting for Haunted Mansion or something, I'm like, here, have a pastry.
That is true. Does. You know, every time we hang out with Jules, she always has bags in her purse. She does. I do remember that. It was like, yeah,
I'm not shocked.
I carry a first aid kit. I carry extra snacks. I usually have extra waters. I almost always have, I don't ever go to the parks without hand sanitizer anyway, or some kind
How big is your bag?
And I also
bring Mary Poppins. All kinds of stuff just fits in there. It just, you don't know where it goes.
The lampshade? Toilet seat covers run out.
But the nice thing about breakfast is it gets you really deep in the park if you can get an early one.
Yeah, it's the only one you can eat now because Crystal Palace, it doesn't matter anymore if you get there early because you're only in the hub.
Because you're only in the hub. So it does get you deep in the park. You're right in Fantasyland.
Anything else overrated, underrated?
I'm going to go one more outside of the park. For one of the most underrated places is The Wave. The Contemporary.
I've heard good things.
I'm trying to get in there and I haven't gotten in there.
It is fabulous. We've been for breakfast and dinner now and I absolutely love it.
I have to agree with you on that one because that's usually one of our, when we arrive into Disney, we'll make our a lunch reservation and go there and then go to Magic Kingdom or something like that. But I think it's usually not too crowded. I mean, it's very rare that it's packed, you know, at least maybe we're just finding the times before it gets packed, but when we go, it's rarely ever sold out or anything like that.
Right before the parks closed, we went and had breakfast there. That was my first time for breakfast. And we did the buffet and it was some of the best food I've had. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah. The buffets are probably numbered.
Yeah. I don't think the buffets are, at least for a little bit, they're not coming back.
Do you think they just won't open those restaurants, or do you think they'll modify it in some way? Can they do
that? I was thinking maybe they would do like plated. So if you went up and, you know, wanted a cinnamon roll to already be on a plate, you just take that plate. Or if you want some eggs, they'll plate it for you.
Which, you know, that's I kind of like to a point, because I mean, we've talked about
hands off the utensils,
right? You know, people like kids just touching every little thing. Yeah. And, you know, and
licking the railings.
Cause you know, what I love about the buffets, at least like at 1900 and then, you know, like Chef Mickey's, is like, they have tater tots. I love tater tots. Mm-hmm. And like, I really don't want to like be
Thomas eats like a child or toddler.
Wait, right. We found right. a new Tots, food.
Chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. He knows.
Yeah, but we didn't know about tater tots till tonight. So now right. we have something else fits. To add.
Right. Tater tots, right. mac and cheese.
So good. First show.
Yeah, yes. But so I don't want to be restricted on how many tots I can get or any of that stuff. So like I hope like the plated thing where you can just walk up and they're like, okay, we'll give you here's a new plate of tater, you know, or something like that. Even though I kind of miss like just having a whole plate of tater tots and just walking away. But
there are so many buffets at Disney World that it, right. in the restaurants and in
there
the parks,
are. They're gonna have hard. To figure something out. They're gonna have to.
Well, Jules is gonna have to get a baggie for Tom's tater tots.
That's right.
Oh, well, Tom, remember I asked you if you had tried the tots at Friar's Nook?
Right. I haven't. I don't think I have.
See, then you're not really a tot connoisseur, are you?
Well, we talked about my issues. We talked about food with that. We went all right, this
we're
whole
gonna
story
broadening
about it.
That. We're gonna right. broaden that as soon we'll as try. The park's open.
That's right. We'll try. Okay. I've been going to different places. I've been trying different food.
Okay.
I've been being safe and trying new stuff that I'm comfortable with trying new.
Grilled cheese.
With bacon and tomatoes now.
Whoa, bacon wow. and tomatoes. That is I'm
That's
so
impressive.
Proud.
Uncrustable. What'd you get at Woody's Lunchbox? Because there had to be something.
I don't remember.
Speaking of that, when does anyone know when the other restaurant will open? The sit down in Toy Story?
Not now.
No, I mean, it's like, definitely going to be put on hold.
Okay. Right. Was there a
I don't think date? It had a date yet. Okay. They said, I thought it was supposed to be this year.
It was 2020.
So the outer walls are up and done, but I don't know how far they've gotten interior wise.
Okay.
And the entrance was definitely not done.
That'd be a whole like other show.
Bamboo walls and a hole.
Yeah. What construction is happening or not happening?
Oh, I know. Like, moment, yeah. I mean,
we'll bring you back for that. We're going to need you to be our secret agent. Okay.
That works.
Well, I guess I just, you know, I wonder for like Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm assuming all the money was already spent to build those rides. Like, it's not like, hey, now that Disney hasn't been open for 2 months, they don't have money. You know, they don't have money anymore for those projects. So I'm hoping they continue, like the money's been spent already and it's just, have to be open yeah. to go. But
yeah, some of them are too far along. They can't.
Yeah,
just stop
there's
those.
Coaster tracks sitting there. Especially those two. Like Tron's right. coaster track is completely finished.
And yeah. Tron is out there. It's in your face. You would definitely see if that wasn't finished.
Yeah.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, they could technically finish the outside, and then you just wonder what that
the outside is
was.
Finished.
But
the outside's finished
of the main building.
Yeah.
The outside of the entry building isn't yet where it used to be. Universe of Energy and Ellen's.
The outside is, that was the entrance there for a while. Because, you know, how Epcot is now where it's blocked off. We can't walk up to Spaceship Earth to go in.
Right.
You have to go around the sides. And that side is finished. You can totally see the whole building is on the outside is finished. The inside is still dirt.
Oh, have they taken the wall down?
Yeah, because you have to walk right past it to get in on that side.
Last I saw, there was still a wall up around the front of it. So, okay.
It goes down. I can see if but I can have a picture.
That coaster has already been paid for. So the track is there, you know, whether you can tell if it's finished or not, because they enclosed that one before you could see what was going on. Yeah. I think those two especially are going to have to be finished.
Yeah. And same thing with like Ratatouille. It's too far along.
Yeah. Ratatouille was probably
I think it's finished almost.
Yeah. I think they were just a couple of weeks from soft opening or at least cast testing on Ratatouille. So it's getting pretty close.
So did anybody ever figure out Jungle Cruise and how high the track is for that? Because the boat that had the leak didn't sink all the way down, right? So the track must be pretty high to hold it up.
Well,
so
it's a trench.
It's a trough.
Oh, it's a trench. It's a trough. Trench. Oh, okay.
So there's actually a bar that goes down at the front and the back of the boat straight down. And at the bottom of that bar is a horizontal wheel. So it just goes through a guide trench in there. So yeah, you can do bad things if you can actually turn the boats around and mess people up if you have access to the switch trip.
Oh.
Oh, Alan can do some crazy.
Cast members may or may not have done some things like that, but yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Roxanne. It was so much fun to have a special guest, and we will definitely do that again. That wraps up our show for today, but we would love to hear what your favorite over or underrated attraction is. You can email us at info@earsforyoupodcast.com. Again, that is info@ears4upodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Ears for You Podcast. From all of us here, we'll see you real soon.